in effect, shut the church down, immediately losing a minimum of 20% of the people who go to church. And it's still falling. With that comes the rise in social media of a new political agenda and a worldwide agenda of making you your own boss. Because after all, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't even watch some of the commercials on TV anymore. I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. And I was a pretty rotten teenager. Look, it's getting bad out there. I want to tell you today, as I mentioned, you're probably going to get offended. That's okay. Could you imagine being back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were being summoned by God to come together and watch while Moses went to the top of the mountain to receive the law, lightning, thunder, the voice and the noise of God being told, don't go near the mountain, nothing. Even if it's an animal, it dies if it comes near the mountain. This is holy. Just even touching the base brought death. And then when Moses comes down, not one first time, a second time, he brings the law and all the rules. See, you know, when we talk about the law, we generally talk about the Ten Commandments. The law is summed up in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. And as I said the other day at FLAP, you want to have a yawner? You having a hard time going to sleep? Read Leviticus. Let me tell you something. If you read it like your life depended on it, it would scare you to death. Because you can't do that. You can't keep it. You can't do what you're supposed to do. Because God is so perfect, He is so holy, that you cannot even approach Him anywhere in the distance that He is. Now, we have the fortunate ability of being born on this side of the cross. And we know that the law was completed in the cross when God's Son, Jesus Christ, died for the penalty of breaking the law for my sin. Which is ushered in 2,000 years of where we are today. Now, grace is just a given. You know, it doesn't matter what I do. It's who I know. It's one of my favorite sayings. I'm forgiven for everything. So I don't really have to work so hard, right? I mean, after all, Jesus paid it all. But we tend to forget that other part. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. We forget the holiness of God. We forget His standard, His perfection of what He wants. And so did the Old Testament prophets and the priests. Do you remember the story? I'm going to tell you a story, and I don't think I'm going to read it. I was thinking I was going to read it to you, but I'm not going to. Remember the first time when Moses and his sons were, or Aaron and his sons were called as Levites to be the first priests? There was Nadab, which was the oldest son. Actually, his name actually means liberal. Isn't that strange?
Liberal,
yeah. And Abihu. They were priests under Aaron. When Aaron got consecrated by God to be the high priest, to be the one who was an interceder between the people and their sin and a holy God, Aaron and his two sons were anointed to be the ones who would take the sin offerings on behalf of God. And those offerings had to be presented in a particular manner. The best, the first, was brought to the temple or the tabernacle or the entrance, and people would have to lay their hands onto the animal and transfer that blood and then slay the animal. Can you imagine the animal lovers today? I told everybody the other day there's a big problem with the Day of Atonement because there's no sacrifice for sin anymore for Jewish people. But the Jewish people, some of the Orthodox Jews have taken, for the last several centuries, they've been taking chickens and waving them over their head and confessing their sins and then killing the chicken. Well, that's no longer acceptable. We got to save the chickens. It's that silly. It's that crazy. But once that blood was accepted, it had to be atoned and placed on the altar where the meat was burned. Remember the two sons of Aaron? The instruction from God in Leviticus stated that the fire of God in the altar was to never go out. And that the altar of incense that was always burning had to be lit from that altar. In other words, God lit the first fire and it had to be kept going. They decided that they didn't really want to do it that way. And so they got their little censers and they lighted their own, put their own incense on it, and they approached God. And what happened? God killed them. Not only did he slay them, but he told Aaron, "You don't even cry. You don't weep. You make no sound." They knew better. I said, "No other fire or incense but mine." Do you do that? How do you approach your life with God? Because see, here's the reality. There's a can of gas and there's a match. And it's coming. And I am appalled because for the earliest times of my lives, I've been preaching once saved, always saved. If you've been born again in Jesus Christ and you are a new person in Christ, you cannot be unborn. You can't be an unperson. Which then got taken to the point of, well, then if that's the case, as I said, you can do anything you want. And that's not true, because I read in the Bible many places, and Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you, there's a day coming where there will be people coming to me and they will be saying, 'Lord, I'm so glad to be here.'" And I'm going to say, Jesus said, I don't know who you are. Does that make any of you nervous? It should. You who think you're in, you who think you've got it, you who think from day to day it doesn't matter what I do because Jesus' blood covers it. Are you nervous? You should be. Let me ask it this way. What are you doing in your life to absolutely, positively, beyond the shadow of a doubt, prove that God is your number one? I ask, what do you do? Not what you think, not what you say. What do you do? If the Holy Spirit were to follow around you every day like he does, and record everything you do, which he does, would there be evidence convict you of Christianity? I told you over and over, this is an old sermon I preach. And for you new people who have just been coming here for the last year, there are three things that convict you. Three things that can convict you of being a Christian. Your Bible. Since I got married, this is my fifth one. I wore out the other ones. Your calendar. What do you do with your time? Do you show up in church? Do you show up at Bible study? Do you do other ministries? Does your life do things for Jesus and display his life in yours? So you got your Bible. You got your calendar. Oh, and let's go to Medlin. Let me see your checkbook. How much do you give? And are you giving gladly, joyfully? None of this 10% baloney. You know, let me settle that, because this is kind of interesting, because these people, once they got touched on that song where it says, "And all the people said amen," you know, people doing good works for one another. You know, that's just natural. When you are giving to God, he gives to you. And it goes and goes. And you notice how it came all the way, came back around to the first guy. You see how that works? This will be the last week that happens. You heard me. If you can't show up on time, you can't turn your phone off, don't come. I don't care. Don't come. This is God's house. If you can't show up on time, you can't give him attention, don't come. Did you hear me? I can't believe you said that, preacher. You're going to upset people. You just heard me. It's my job. I take it very seriously. My dad went into ministry when I was 5. And he never even preached a sermon before. He had to read them. When he got called by God to do that, he was a nervous wreck. He'd been in that church quite 2 years and found out that the family that was in charge of the church cemetery that was right beside the church was doing a little embezzling. I mean, after a while, you know, it takes work to do the work of a cemetery, and so you should get something for it. And so they were taking it. Took a little time, but my dad wrested the books from those people and fired them. The following year, my dad was moved. Yeah. Went to another church. It's interesting because there were 2 Methodist churches in this town, and I had to walk from my house, which was connected to the Methodist church, past the other main Methodist church in town just to go to school. They were that close. And the same thing was going on. The family in the church that was the family that considered themselves founders were doing little funny things with the books. And my dad said, No. He was only there 3 years. 3rd year, when he said, oh no, they moved him. And the 2 churches that he pastored were closed. Never opened again. One was sold to a lawnmower shop. Look, this is the house of the Lord. What do you do to show that Jesus is your number one? And if all you do is show up on church on 1 hour a week, it's like, that's it? What, you get brownie points for that? No. Hey, it was my wife's birthday today. I had fun. Let me tell you what happened. I decided this year it's going to be birthday week. And so starting last Monday, I started giving her something every day. Little stuff that I thought about that she liked. Go through the store, and I went, oh, she would like that. I'd buy that for her. She made the statement one time. We went somewhere, she said, oh, that's the flower I've been asking for that you've never bought me. What do I know about flowers, number one? And number two, you're blaming me for not buying it. I told you, if you want a flower, buy it. I'll pay for it. It don't matter. I love you, honey. So I happened to know somebody in the business, Jason. And so I took a picture of the flower and I sent it to him and I said, what the heck is this? And he told me. And so I started calling around. Do you have that flower? So I went and I bought 2 flowers for her. 2 big, huge vine plants she likes. And when she was doing the bulletin yesterday, it was yesterday, I hadn't given them. I hit them on the other side of the house so she couldn't find them. She was really having a hard time with this bulletin. She said, this is going to be a tough day because, man, we are in so much trouble. I said, yeah. So she's having a hard time with the computer, just like we had a hard time with the computer this morning. The internet was down. With Charles and Mike working together, they got it going at the last minute. I grabbed those 2 big potted plants, stood outside the door, and I kicked the glass and I went. That woman cost me time and money this week. I had to think. I had to pay attention. I had to watch. I had to notice. And I had to give her what she liked and wanted. I love my wife now more than I ever loved her. And I will tell you this, it's the secret. I make it a point to love her. I make it my mission to pay attention to her. I listen when she speaks. When she picks something up at the store, I notice what it is. Now ask me if that's fun. Let me tell you something. When I pay attention to what my wife likes, and I give her what she likes, what do you think she does for me? Ah. Oh. Your wife is so lucky. My man is a pig. Yeah? Did you come to the Ezra Conegdo class? Did you learn what your job is? One of your men ratted you out. He texted me just for fun. He said, my wife went to the class and it didn't work. She ain't doing nothing I tell her. Look, giving receives. Giving receives. And I will say this for you men, you're supposed to go first. That's your obligation. That's your responsibility. And women, oh, don't get me started on you women. I get so sick of hearing, yeah, but you don't know the man I'm married to. Well, what are you doing to change it? My wife gives to me, I give to her, she gives to me, I give to her, and our love continues to do this. Now, why am I saying this? Because marriage is the symbol of Christ and His church. Do you understand what it's like to be one flesh with your spouse? That means you are one. Do you understand the ramifications? If that means that I am one with Katie and she is with me, then I am one with Christ and He is one with me. And that when I get to heaven, I am not going to be entering Disney World. I will own Disney World. I will be the monarch. Not because of anything great about me, only because I loved Him so much. And He loved me so much. Here, have a seat. Oh, I know it's my throne, but have a seat. Watch what we can do together. I had some man say to me at the corner, I don't remember which one of you bums it was, well, who are we going to rule? Oh, I remember. It was you. You don't need to know. You only need to know what you're going to. We don't have all the picture. We don't know what's going to be like. How do I know that God's not going to create 1,000 other worlds when this is all said and done? You have no clue. You don't know what's happening. But you don't need to know what's happening. You only need to know one thing. What does God want you to do right now, and how are you doing it? How do you measure yourself against what God is doing for you, and how are you giving to Him? You wake up on a Sunday morning, I don't feel like going to church today. Or Wednesday, I think I'll skip. Yeah, I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I told somebody yesterday, you don't know this person, so don't try to figure it out. That's a problem, because you say something, use the illustration, and try to figure out who the person is. But they told me or asked me if I would put their names on a COVID prayer list. Because I heard that you guys really are great prayers.
Well, we are.
Remember Lurch from, what was it, the Addams Family? What makes you think, Because I put your name in black and white on our bulletin, and all of a sudden God's going to go, cha-ching, jackpot, lottery, bubblegum. What makes you think that works? I ask these people, you go to church?
Not really. I just haven't been going to church.
But I read my Bible every day. Oh, and I listen to several internet programs that are preachers. Okay. But you don't go to church? No. But you want our church to pray for you? I didn't have to say any more than that. They got the picture. I said, let me tell you something about COVID that I know for an absolute fact. Because I went down through the list. I'm just going to give it to you. Fact. If you got the vaccine, it's no guarantee that you're not going to get sick. If you don't get the vaccine, that's no guarantee you're not going to get sick. If you got the Regeneron treatments after you got the COVID, that's no guarantee you're not going to be sick. If you don't get them, it's no guarantee you're not going to be sick. If you get the shot, don't get the shot. Nothing makes sense. And what do I say? If it doesn't make sense, what is it? Satan. It's the Satan. If it don't make sense, it's Satan. He's running this show. What are you doing to stand up against that? You know what I've noticed about our church? We never closed the doors. You know how many people died from COVID in our church? Nada! You know how many people got so sick they had to be hospitalized from our church from COVID? Nada! I'm telling you. Jesus. Oh, what's that under the clock?
Works.
But you see, what happens is priests, we get going along, the priests go along and they start thinking, you know what? You know, I'm tired of this. I do all this work around here for these dirtbag people. They don't understand how hard it is. And so then comes Eli. Remember Eli, the one who Samuel was given to raise? Like, that was a great idea. Here's a guy who was a terrible dad himself. And Hand ends up giving him Eli. Here, I want you to raise my son. I'm giving him to the Lord. Great. Eli's own two sons. They decided they don't want to get the meat that was donated, you know, offered, and supposed to be burn the fat off of it and throw it in a pot, boil it, and then the servant of the priest goes and takes a forked hook and grabs it. Whatever comes out goes to the priest. No, we don't like that. We want the raw meat up front. What? Yeah, I want you to give me the raw meat right up front. Well, let's at least burn the fat off because that's what the law said. No. You either give me the raw meat or I'll take it from you by force. Oh, and by the way, if you're a woman and you look good, we're going to have sex on the side because I need that too. That actually happened. And what did God do? Killed him. It's crazy. We don't approach God like we should. You need to be where God is if you want to be God's blessed. Do you understand that? We're standing down on a corner the other day, and I had listened to this sermon on a radio, and a man who's been preaching for years and years and years, President of Moody, he said, I was driving down the road, and I saw a man had a sandwich board, and on one side it said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And then he turned around, and the back said, whose slave are you? I went, that's cool. I could wear that sign. So I went to the Dollar Tree and bought two big old boards, and I said, ask my wife, would you paint that up for me? And she did. And I worked a way that I could strap it on, and I'm standing there on the corner, and I'm like, I am a slave for Jesus Christ. Whose slave are you? About 20 minutes, Vic comes over and he goes, did you ever stop to think that possibly some people might be offended at that? I said, Vic, me? Look. Give of your best to the master. That's an old song that is just so good. Look it up online. You'll find it. Maybe Charles and I will find it and play it for you next week. But doing what you desire and not what God desires is not the same thing. In order for you to feel it, you must faith it. Do you understand that? This is one of my sayings. When I'm dead, I'm going to compile these. They're on my phone. Feeling follows faith. Say it with me. Feeling follows faith. Feeling follows faith. Feeling follows faith. When I went to the store the other day and I picked up those two big pots for my wife, I did it in love. And I was excited about it because I could see her face. I knew she was going to be excited. And you know what the weather was like? It was pouring down rain. I'm talking thunder gusher. And I went out in that rain. Did it bother me? Not one bit. Because I saw my wife. I saw what I was doing for her. It was worth it. It was extra cost. I didn't care how much it cost. It wasn't even on sale. I don't care. Because she's my wife. What are you doing for Jesus? As a matter of fact, don't tell me. Show me. And if you're doing it for Christ, He will fill you with His faithful feeling. But we don't operate by feelings. We operate by faith. You get that? It ain't about how you feel. It's about who you know. I don't think I need to go any further. I got all kinds of illustrations here. I'm not going to use them. If I offended you, tough. Are you reading the Word? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you trying to find Him? If you don't feel Him anywhere, if you feel like He's not really real close, guess who moved? That's an old 70s thing. You. And if you start reading, you go, I'm not getting anything out of this. What? You haven't read long enough. Maybe you ain't been reading for so long. God's going to just watch you for 3 weeks before He even shows up because He just wants to see how serious you are. I don't ever pick up my Bible and I don't have the Holy Spirit going pew, 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 pew. How many here have that thing with mind bomb, spirit bomb, boom, boom, boom. God is talking all the time. I love it. Sometimes I can't even sleep at night. Let me know. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Father God, we love You. We thank You that You have brought us into this world, and by Your grace and Your love, which is so magnificent, we could never understand or comprehend it. And Lord, we have been remiss. We've not done our part by coming up, showing up, doing what You ask us to do, praying for the people, coming together that we can be united as Your church, because we're going to be hanging out forever together. If we can't stand looking at each other here, how are we going to like being together in heaven? Well, You have a way of ruling that out. You won't be. Strengthen us for the fire that's coming, Lord, because I want to do Your will, not my own. To You be glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God does some really cool things. God does some really cool things, and He doesn't have to do them for you. He doesn't have to. But sometimes He does. Go ahead, Mike. Stand up.
Your faithfulness, my fortress.